Art will get us notes this morning, so whatever. Things are transpiring all about us. And my thoughts turn, people are so up, excited about this eclipse and things. And Scripture talks about eclipses. And there was an earthquake in New York. Diverse places. The Scripture talks about those things too. And the Scripture talks about some things that are coming down the pike. And I'm not saying these are those things, but they're foreshadows of them. And they ought to cause us to think on some of these things. You all know, yes or no, like the Olivet Discourse is the Lord talked to his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. And he spoke about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. And those things happened in 70 A.D. And some folks take this Olivet Discourse and they say, well, that was all 70 A.D., that Christ came back in 70 A.D. He said, they'll see me. Say, I believe we take the Scripture as plain common sense. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. When the Lord makes promises to somebody, when the Lord says something, when the Lord makes promises to national Israel, he's going to fulfill them. Say, well, he was really talking to the church. And the people who say that have no idea what a church is even. You know, they hold this universal, invisible, ethereal thing. And you won't find that thing in Scripture. You won't find it if you look around. But the Lord spoke to his disciples, and he spoke about the events that were coming, and he spoke about what was coming in the closer time. He did speak about the temple, that it would be destroyed. There would not be one stone upon the other. But he also spoke of things in the more distant future, when he would come, when he would return. And there's all sort of speculation about those things. I don't claim to understand it all. I believe the book. I believe God's going to accomplish what he said. You can go to some folks, they'll tell you every detail of what it means. And then after it doesn't happen the way they said, they'll come back and tell you every detail of what it means later. I try to avoid those things. But in the Olivet Discourse, and it's in all the so-called synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John is a special case, you know, it's more of a theological. But the synoptic gospels, they reflect each other, and they run parallel. They never contradict each other, but they give you more detailed information in some of the different accountings. Under the Holy Spirit's guidance. This book is the Word of God. It's not the Word of man. It's not what Matthew recalled. It's what the Holy Spirit inspired. All Scriptures, Paul tells us, are given by inspiration of God. Theonoustos. Given Theonoustos. That literally means Theo, God, Noustos, breathed. All Scriptures are God-breathed. Peter tells us holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved there literally means to be picked up and borne along. God prepared these men. He prepared their vocabularies. He prepared their backgrounds that they might set down his word, which Scriptures also tell us, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. So we have arguments about it. You can have all these modern perversions and all these other things that come up on this day, but I'm just going to believe the book. You know, I won't believe the book. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. I may not always understand it all, but I believe God. I believe the book. And in the Olivet Discourse, as it's called, as God was speaking, Christ was speaking to his disciples and in the garden, the Olivet Garden, he spoke of things that were going to come. And after he spoke of the destruction of the temple, which would be in the somewhat near future, his disciples asked concerning that and other things. And I'll I just made some, jotted some notes here, so bear with me. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But every word of this book will be fulfilled exactly as God intended. I can tell you that. And his disciples said to the Lord, tell us, in Mark 13, verse 4, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus, answering them, began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. Well, that's a pretty good lesson to learn to begin with. You probably should take heed to pretty much stay away from the television and all the talking heads there, and not listen to anything that comes out of D.C. or from any of the politicians. Take heed, lest any man deceive you. You better not believe them all. You better not believe what the three-letter agencies tell you, the CDC or the CIA or the FBI. You better not believe them, folks. Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, that's happened a lot over the years. There's one particular man in particular that claims to be the representative of Christ on earth today. He is the vicar of Christ. That word vicar means representative. That's why we speak of a vicarious atonement. Christ took our place. And this man of sin and of the Romanist church, he says he's the vicar of Christ. He's the replacement of Christ. He's a representative of Christ. They come and say, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Then the Lord says, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, I've heard this since I was a kid, and there have been. I'm not saying it's next week or tomorrow, but I'm going to say what the Lord eventually sets here in context, that you ought to be watching. You ought to be looking up. You ought to be preparing yourself for these things. Many shall say, come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. For such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. You know, these things must needs be. God determined things. It was the same in Judas. The Lord said, these things must needs be. Now, I'm going to be betrayed, but woe be unto him who betrays me. Man is still accountable. God is absolutely sovereign. He will absolutely work his will. And he uses wicked folks like Judas and people in the White House and people who used to be in the White House and all these people. These things must needs be. God's determined them. He uses wicked. And then the Lord said, but the end shall not be it. Take heed to yourself, he says down in verse 9 of Mark 13. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to synagogues. It's going to get worse. But we mentioned that Franklin's friend that's being held now, awaiting sentencing, for praying in front of an abortion clinic, for praying in front of a place where they murder babies. He's arrested, not the murderers. He's arrested. They shall deliver you up to councils and in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. The Lord told us that. He said, people don't like me. Yeah, no, they don't. Hopefully it's for the right reason. Hopefully it's because you're Christ, because you live as Christ, because you reflect whose you are. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. The Lord's going to watch over his elect. He's going to watch over his people. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let him that be in Judea flee to the mountains. There's a lot in this. I'm just going to hit it real quick, some of it real quick. What was spoken of by Daniel was fulfilled initially during the intertestamental period. Antiochus Epiphanes came and slaughtered a pig on the altar in the tabernacle and in the temple, and that was abomination, desolation. Eventually, the Jews, when they reconquered the land and they cleansed it, they had what they recognize today as Hanukkah, which was a rededication of the temple. But see, this was already happened. So when the Lord tells us this, he's given us an understanding of how we should look at these things, interpret these things. Yes, Antiochus Epiphanes had already committed an abomination. But the Lord says it's going to happen. It's in the future. Scripture talks about the Antichrist, that he's going to set himself up as if he were God in the temple, which I believe is to be rebuilt. He's going to set himself up as God. Christ said, when you see this, when you shall see the abomination, desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Let him that be in Judea flee to the mountains. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Down in verse 21. And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ. Oh, lo, there he is. Believe him not. And again, I always use this about the time we have the Lord's Supper, because it's been so perverted by modern churchianity. You know, when folks come in to the Romanist church, they have an altar at the front. There are no altars in Baptist churches. No Baptists speak that way today. We don't make sacrifice here. We don't make an unbloody sacrifice at the Lord's Supper. It's a remembrance. But Rome claims that this lowly priest can take a piece of bread and say some magic words on it and turn it into God. They put it in something they call a monstrance, and they put it in the middle of that. And when folks come in, they cross themselves and they say, my Lord, my God, to this piece of bread. And then whatever they have left over, they put in the altar at the front. And so God's there in the box at the front. That's just the way it is. That's how they view those things. That's why they cross themselves coming into the church. That's why they bow down before those altars. It is finished, Brother Howe reminded us, the Lord said on the cross. It is finished! Paul tells us in Hebrews, there's no more sacrifice. He offered himself up once. It's not repeated daily and weekly and monthly. We are to remember it. The Lord gave that ordinance to his church, and we'll be doing that. Or said, don't believe these things. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Listen, the elect, and that's why the Lord says it this way, if it were possible. You know, it's a strong delusion. It's a strong lie. And if it were possible, it would even deceive the elect. But they'll not be deceived. God will watch over those that are his. He knew them from before the foundation of the world. He chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. They are his. And Christ said, I'll not lose one. Not one. He said, well, maybe this one got slipped through cracks. There are no cracks to slip through. If you're Christ, you're his. You were in him before the foundation of the world. And when he made his atonement, he atoned for his people. The Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. He didn't say, please believe and then you can be my sheep. And he said, no, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's the true Christ. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of the heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall ye see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. But on that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son while he was here on earth, but the Father. Take ye heed. And then here's the thing, point I want to make today. We see these things abounding about us. We see earthquakes and other verses on the, all of that discourse that said, the Lord said, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. We see the darkening of the sun, and folks are getting all excited about this eclipse thing. God's in control of those things. God's in charge of those things. But the time's coming. This is a reminder, a wake-up call. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels in heaven which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. The Lord may come tomorrow. He may. He may not come for a good while. He knows. It'll be on His time schedule. It'll be in accordance with His decree. And then the Lord in verse 37 there at the end of Mark 13 says, and what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch! Watch. Look what's transpiring about us. Look at what's happening here in this land. Look what's happening in politics. Look what's happening at conflicts around the globe. Watch! He's still in charge. And He's going to come. And He's going to fulfill every word that He promised, that He said. Well, I could touch on a few of that. In Luke, we're told, and all of that discourse in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Famines and pestilence. That couldn't happen here. Could it? Have you been to the grocery store lately? If it keeps getting any worse, and it gets progressively worse, and we just ignore it. We neglect it. God's going to take care of us all. I'm not worried. But I can see the possibility of these things. In fact, they're trying to geoengineer things. They're trying to manipulate things. They want you to be eating bugs. And you know, all this other good stuff. Verse 20 in Luke, the Lord says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And Scripture tells us that, you know, the whole world at some point is going to turn against Israel. Well, I'm not saying that they're the nicest people around. The Lord said, I chose you not because you were the best people around. God's election. They're in the land in unbelief now. The government in Israel is just as bad as the government here in the U.S. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for either of them. But God has made a choice. He has made a decision. He is going to fulfill His promises to physical Israel. He's going to fulfill His promises to His elect. God has a people. God has a physical people. God has a spiritual people. And God's going to fulfill all those promises to them. Israel's a picture and a type. And God's not going to renege on what He's promised Israel. He's not going to renege on what He's promised to His people. For these be the day of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Listen, Tim Martin. All things that are written may be fulfilled. Oft times we're told during the Lord's earthly ministry that He did thus and such, or something happened, that it might be fulfilled. And everything will be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. And the sea and waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And it goes on. It says, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Then shall they see. There are those preterists and some of the others say, well, these things are already done. They already happened. It was all Christ came when the temple was destroyed. Nobody saw him. Christ uses people. But it wasn't the Roman army wasn't Jesus Christ. Scriptures say they shall see the Son of Man. Verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The main point I wanted to make as I thought on these things this morning, last night. People think just things are going along fine. They've always gone along fine. They're going to keep on going along fine. You know, it's the what's that thing? I've talked about it before, but it's like, you know, your tendency, normalcy bias. Things have always been, they're going to keep on being this way. People are that way about everything. I've talked to people in the past, you know, the stock market and all. Well, but it's always done. Yeah, but it's not always going to. There's no promise. Which, by the way, we noted back, I think it was 86, and I bought a Krugerrand for $380. You go buy it today, it'll cost you $2,300 and some dollars. Now, if I had stuck away $300 in 86, it would be worth about 20 cents today, really. It'd still be $300, but now, I'm just saying, these things can happen. The stock market is going to crash. I mean, how can anybody, it doesn't matter. I'm not worried about it. My trust isn't in silver and gold, but I've got eyes. I can see. I can make preparations for my family. I ought to. The Lord said in Matthew 24, again, another account of the Olivet Discourse, but as it were, as the days of Noah were, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man be. You know? In Noah's day, people said, well, it's always been this way. We've never had a flood. There can't be a flood. And as in the days that it were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. That's the way it always was. It was just normalcy. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And if you read the scriptures and where it talks about it, it doesn't say Noah closed the door and sealed it. It says God sealed them in there. God sealed them in there. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then the Lord says again, watch therefore. In verse 44 of Matthew 24, he says, therefore be ye also ready. You think the Lord's going to come today? The Lord said, be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Again, I'm not trying to stir anybody up, scare anybody. I have assurance. I've got peace. But I think we ought to be watching, the Lord says. We ought to be looking up, the Lord says. And we ought to be, Diane and I were talking about this the other day, because sometimes I don't do this like I ought to. Keep your accounts short. Keep your accounts short. With the Lord, with one another. You know, and by that I mean, make sure everything's right. Right between you your spouse and your family, right between you and God, because you know not at what time the Lord may come. You want to be standing on the right ground then. Keep your accounts short. So Lord, don't come tomorrow. He's going to come. And there's no guarantee. In fact, if you look at Scripture and search the prophetic Scriptures, most folks will acknowledge there doesn't seem to be anything in there about the United States of America. About the good old Americans. I kind of think they may not be around, at least not in this form and way. So America's always been here. No, it hasn't. Well, America will always be here. No, it won't. And you know what? America hadn't been here anyway since at least 1865, I think. And maybe before. But God knows. My point in all this is, look up, watch, keep your accounts short, because we can see what's transpiring about us. The Lord talked to His disciples about it on the eve of His crucifixion. And we should be aware of these things. We may not understand them all. We may not be able to understand them all. But the Lord says, watch. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And God will take care of His people. Okay, well, I kind of rambled today, but that's okay. We'll take our hymnals and turn to page number 140. If you like, you can stand and we'll sing a closing hymn. Look to the Lamb of God. Number 140. Look to the Lamb of God. If you like, you can stand. Number 140. And you see here again, this book. You know, some folks use these things and it's like, well, look to the Lamb of God and then you can get saved. Now, if you read the first verse, if you from sin are longing to be free, that comes from the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives repentance and faith. It's not these universal invitations, you know. Everybody come on up here. And I'll tell you how to get saved. You just pray this prayer after me and you're taken care of. Now, if you from sin are longing to be free, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those. That's just the FBI coming. That's the back gate, so they must have went open. Oh, I have the back gate open. So I guess maybe they're coming. Oh, well. You all just go on without me.
Okay.
When the time comes. Number 140.
If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. To the Lamb of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for our friend, Josiah, that's visiting with us today. Lord, we pray for our brother Reagan. He's away from us. You watch over him. I think he's in training to keep him safe. Lord, you be with our many friends, brothers, sisters that have ails or ailing and that need healing. Father, we pray that you might undertake, that you might accomplish your will. Father, we pray that you give your people peace, that you give your people confidence, Lord, as we can rest in your sovereignty, regardless of what may transpire about us. You know those that are yours. Lord, what a wonderful thought that is. That you'll bring each of them to yourself. Father, help us to live lives that bring glory to thee, that reflect whose we are. Father, may we be ever watching. Or may we be prepared for your return. Lord, or for our own home goings. Lord, help us to keep our counts short. To seek, Lord, to stay right by your grace, for we surely cannot do it on our own. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal love, for those people you chose in Christ, for our Lord's atonement. His completed atonement for those people, for the work of the Spirit that granted us the graces of repentance and faith, brought us to hear and to embrace the gospel of our salvation. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.